Bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Father in heaven, God, we come to you again in Jesus' name. Lord, we confess this morning we are hiding under that name. Hallelujah. Lord, that's the name which is above every name. God, we ask you today that you would bind Satan, Lord, and all the evil powers that would seek to hinder this service today. Father, we've heard again of the plan that Satan has to defame your name, to take the glory away from you, to turn us away, that your name would be blasphemed upon this earth. But, oh Father, our hearts do say, even though we fail in many ways, Lord, our hearts this morning say, we want you to be glorified. We want Satan's plans to be revealed to us, oh God, that we are not ignorant of his devices. Lord, we want him to take his place as where he belongs, God. His power has been destroyed. His name has been made an ugly name. And your name is above every name, and your power is above his. Father, we confess that before you. And Lord, we're trusting you this morning that you would bind him this morning. Bind him and all those evil powers. God, that your work could go forth from this place today. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm very grateful for the message that went before. Because it is so, and it is, that it's Satan's plan to destroy the testimony of God upon the earth. It's Satan's plan to lead and direct our lives in such a way that it makes void the testimony of God upon the earth. Because that's so, and we know it is, we need discernment. We need to have discernment in our lives. That's what I'd like to speak on this morning, the subject of discernment. To question or not to question is the title of the message. Discernment. To question or not to question. I trust you'll understand what I mean when I'm done. When I say that it's all right to question God, I don't mean we need to question God because of God's person, nor because of His integrity, nor because of His power. But we need to question because there is an enemy who would like to destroy us, who would like to lead us astray and lead us in a wrong path. And because of that, it's all right to question God. This morning, does God want us to move with Him without any questions? Should we never ask Him why? Is it all right to question God? These are some of the questions we want to answer this morning. Is God pleased with our questions, or does He just put up with them? Is it right to view the leading of God without a discerning, questioning heart? These are some of the questions I'd like to answer this morning. We need to have discernment. Is it right to question, or do we just go on and do what we think God wants us to do? Is it right to question? If we could turn in our Bibles, first of all, to Philippians chapter 1. We want to look at some verses on discernment. And I'll just direct our thoughts a little bit here this morning. I do believe when it comes into the area of discernment, I do believe that it's right for us to question God. Not because God's integrity is not what it ought to be, but because there is a devil and he does want to lead us astray. And he does want to lead us into making decisions that will bring reproach to the name of God. He does want to do that. I do believe in the case of discernment, we need to question God. Now, I will say this. If trials come into our life, I don't think it's time for us to get alone and have a pity party with God and say, "Oh God, why?" I don't think it's time then. But when we're being led and a decision needs to be made in our lives, it's a good time to question, is this the right thing to do? Shall I go this way? When we get impressions about doing this or doing that, it's a good thing to stop and ponder and discern and question whether we're doing the right thing. It's all right for us then to look heavenward and say, "God, is this what You want me to do? Do You want me to go this way?" In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul prayed this prayer. "And this I pray, that Your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Notice that. It's unto the glory and praise of God. Paul is praying here for the Philippian church that they might abound in love and in knowledge and in all judgment. And that word judgment there means discernment. In my Bible, it says sense. But the word sense means discernment. Paul is praying for the Philippian church that they'll abound in all discernment, that they will be a church that discerns. Notice in verse 10, "Why? That ye may approve." And that word "approve" there means to try or to test something. "That ye may try or test the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere." And that word again, in my margin of my Bible, it says "the things that differ." Paul is praying for the Philippian church that they would abound in love and in discernment, that they would know how to try or prove the things that differ and come up with that which is excellent. My mind goes to the verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I believe that's what Paul is praying here for the Philippian church, that they would abound in discernment so that they can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that they can try and prove and discern the things that differ and come up with only those things that are excellent in God's sight. Why? Verse 11, "So that they can be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." And we learned this morning that that's exactly opposite what Satan would like for us to do. He doesn't want us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness which come by Jesus Christ that bring praise and glory to Him. He doesn't want that, but He would rather lead us in a direction that is completely contrary to that. Paul prayed they'd have discernment. Discernment to try and prove the things that are excellent or the things that differ and come up with those things that are excellent. Notice how much this matter of discernment has to do with true righteousness. The true righteousness we find in verse 11 has to do with this matter of discernment. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We'll look at another verse on discernment. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This matter of discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Now notice that word. The word judgeth there is the word discerneth. He that is spiritual discerneth all things. Do we realize this morning what that means? A person who is spiritual looks at all things with a discerning eye. With, if I may use the word, with a questioning eye. He that is spiritual puts an eye of discernment or question on all things. And he proves and tries all things, and he comes up with that which is excellent. He that is spiritual will do that. Now he that is not spiritual will not do that, but blindly move into things and make mistakes because they did not look at that thing with a questioning eye. But he that is spiritual questions all things. That's what the word discern means. To discern means to question. To discern means to judge it. To discern means to take a good look at it and look at it from this side and look at it from this side and take a look at it from this side and pass judgment on it. Whether it be excellent or not. That's what discernment is about. And the natural man lacks this discernment. But he which is spiritual will discern all things. And I studied that word a little bit more. The word judgeth there, which in my margin it says discerneth. But it means to examine, to investigate, and to make a decision. What a beautiful description of discernment. To examine it, to investigate it, and then to make a decision. He which is spiritual will examine it and investigate it and make a decision. That's what discernment is. And God wants us to have discernment. Not just the brethren over here, all of us. God wants us in these last days that we live in to be a discerning people. There's nothing foolish about stopping and questioning and discerning before you make decisions. In fact, it's foolish to jump into something. In these last days that we live in, it's foolish to jump into something without discerning. But I'm afraid that many times God's people are being given a false concept that it's a lack of faith if you question something before you do it. Not so. It takes more faith to question and discern than it does to just jump into something. It's not a lack of faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll look at another word in this matter of discernment. First Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. And this word understanding means discernment. Brethren, be not children in discernment. Howbeit, in malice, be ye children. Don't learn much about that. Speaking evil of somebody, don't learn much about that. But don't be children in discernment. But in understanding, be men. And again, in the margin of my Bible, it says, be perfect or of a ripe age. In discernment, brethren, in discernment, don't be little children, but rather, in discernment, be like wise old men. That's what it means right there. Be of a mature and a ripe old age in this matter of discernment. Yeah, sure, in malice, be a little baby. In evil things, be a little baby. Don't know much about it, just like the man said. Don't learn much about that. Don't even try the things that are evil. Stay simple. Stay childish. Stay little in all those things, but in discernment. Grow up like wise old men in a ripe old age. That's what the verse is saying right here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we want to look at the need for discernment. And I know we know this verse. These verses, but I'd like to read them again. We're not going to speak a lot about them, but I'd like to read them just so we see the flow of context here through the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit laid this thing expressly on my heart, Paul says. that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines or teachings of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is the way it'll be in the last days. Here we see from these verses the need to have discernment. Because in the last days, which days we live in, some shall depart from the faith. They'll depart from the faith because they'll be listening to seducing spirits. These seducing spirits will be teaching them lies. These seducing spirits are devils. These seducing spirits are part of that host that Brother Alex talked about that rebelled against God when Satan did. That's the seducing spirits. And in these last days, they're making their all-out last attempt to absolutely destroy the testimony of God upon this earth. And because of that, we need to have discernment. We need to be a people that are awake. We need to be a people that are alert and discerning in spiritual things. These days we live in. Because these two verses are in effect today. They are reality today. People are listening today to those seducing spirits that lead people away. It's happening today. Thus, the need for discernment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's a very interesting verse. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Well, let's read verse 19 through 21, or 22. 19 through 22 we'll read, and I'd like to zero in on verse 21, but let's read the context here. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, and hold fast that which is good. Prove how many things? Prove all things. What does that word prove there mean? It's the same thing. Question and discern and investigate all things to the point of making a decision and hold on to the things that are good. And then the next verse says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That means that light-hearted attitude toward the things that are going on around us is going to go out the window with this verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, it doesn't hurt. Well, it won't matter. No, the Bible says we need to prove all things. We need to question all things. We need to look at all things with a discerning eye and hold fast to those things which are good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Discernment. And then if we could just look at it a little bit in the corporate setting, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We were already in chapter 14, but I want to look a little further down in the chapter now and look at it in the corporate setting. 14, verse 29 through 33. Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now here, we see this matter of discernment taking place in a corporate level. And what I'd like for us just to picture, and I love this picture, and by the way, I enjoy feeling it when I'm up here preaching. I get the picture of a bunch of men sitting over here on one side of the auditorium listening to what is being said and discerning what is being said. I get the picture of wise men sitting over there while preaching is going on with their Bibles open, looking down at the verses that are being read and studying those verses to see if the things which are being said are so or not. What that is discernment. What Paul is saying here to the Corinthian church, he's saying, let two or three get up and speak to all, and let the rest of those prophets judge. Let them discern. Let them discern what is being said. Let them question what is being said from the pulpit. That's what it's saying right here. So that only that which is being said that is right will stand. It's discernment. 40 years ago, that's not that long ago, 40 years ago, I'll give you a little modern church history. 40 years ago, the old Pentecostal movement was in full swing. I don't know if you know what old Pentecostals are, but they're not what you find around here today that call themselves charismatics. The old Pentecostals, they wore long dresses down to the feet. They wore very loose dresses. The men wore very simple attire. They didn't wear ties. They just wore a coat. The boys had short hair. The women had long hair. They wouldn't cut their hair. That was the old Pentecostal people. 40 years ago, some strange things started happening in their services. And the old wise men started questioning it. Something's not right here. Something's not going right here. And the young men rose up in those assemblies and accused the old men and said, it's not right to question God. God is here. It's not right to question God. Whatever God leads His people to do, we're going to accept it and consider it to be from God. And the wise old men, their mouths were shut, and the young men rose up and let things continue the way they were. And now we have the result of it around us in all these churches that are called charismatic churches. 40 years ago, there was a group of people who stood for holiness, who stood for a right life, who stood for right living. And something started going wrong in the assemblies, and somebody came up with the false teaching that it was wrong to question God, and they accepted it and received everything from then on out that kept coming their way. And now you have the modern charismatic movement. It's right to question God. Now you know what I mean. We question what is going on so that we can discern whether it's God or whether it's somebody else, whether it's God or whether it's some other spirit. It's all right to question what God is doing because of that. In 1 John chapter 4, we also have some interesting verses. Oh, that the wise old men would have read these verses to those young men 40 years ago. 1 John chapter 4. Oh, if they would have read these verses to those young men and stood. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So here we have the admonition. Beloved, you're the heart of John in that. Beloved, believe not every spirit. The first word is, believe not. Oh, people today would have a problem with that. That's unbelief. That's a lack of faith. You don't trust God. You're not believing God. But here, John, who was a wise, old, discerning man, who saw many things come and go, he said in his old age to the people of God, beloved, believe not every spirit. That's your first response. Not your second. It's your first response. Believe not every spirit. That's what the Bible says. But try those spirits, or prove those spirits, or discern those spirits, whether they are of God. That's why we need to question. Not question God, but question whether it's of God. Why? The answer is given in verse 1, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's the answer. Discernment. To question or not to question? To question. These days we live in, we need to question. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Discernment. I'd like to give an example this morning of one who was discerning. I'm sure most of us here know who George Mueller was. George Mueller was led by God more than most in his day. God led him to do many unusual things. God led him to start an orphanage, not knowing whether he'd have the money to run the thing. God led him to fill the orphanage with children, not knowing whether he'd have the money to feed them. God led him to give money away to the mission field. When he had 200 or 300 children sitting in an orphanage, God led him to give money away to the mission field and trust him to feed the children. Yet, notice the 5 points that he taught for discerning God's will. He didn't just hear a word and go do it. No, he didn't. When God led him to build an orphanage, he didn't just hear a word and go build an orphanage. When God led him to give all the money away and trust him to feed the children, he didn't just hear a word and go and do it. Listen to these 5 points. How to discern God's will. Number one, you must be completely free of your own will if you're going to discern God's will. Number two, you need to go by the witness of the Spirit within your own heart. God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that this is the way, walk ye in it. Number three, you need to go by the witness of the Bible. Does what is that thing which God is telling you to do, does it line up with the record of the Word of God? Can you see examples of the Word of God? Can you see testimonies of others who have done it? Can you see a clear direction from the principles of God's Word? Does it line up to the Word of God? Number four, the witness of circumstances. Do the circumstances seem to be sovereignly laid out by God to encourage you to go in the direction that God is leading you? And number four, do you have the witness of wise men? Do you have the witness of other wise men around you that this is a right thing to do? Those 5 things George Mueller used to discern the will of God. And I'm afraid that today we'll read his biography and think in our minds that he just got alone with God and prayed a prayer and went out and built an orphanage. When no, that was not at all how he did. But he waited before God. And when he heard from heaven, he brought it back before God again and said, God, is this what you want me to do? And when he heard from heaven, he went to the Word of God. And he searched the Scriptures and said, God, it seems like this is what you want me to do. And I see it also in the Word of God. But he didn't just stop there. He also discerned the circumstances that were around him. And he also went to wise leaders that were around him and said, here's what I feel God is telling you to do. What do you think? What do you think? I want to know what you think. I want to know how you feel. And then he went out and built an orphanage. He didn't just pop them like that and go and do them. But he had discernment. He questioned those things. And he took a look at them. And he had a discerning eye while he looked at them, because he wanted to make sure that he was doing the will of God and not just doing what George Mueller wanted. In Isaiah chapter 11, this blessed my heart. as I was preparing the message, these verses came to my mind and I opened up the Scripture and read them. The example of Jesus to see this matter of discernment. Jesus also had discernment. Chapter 11, Isaiah, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It's speaking about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That word is discernment. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this Spirit of the Lord that rests upon him shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And in my margin, it says scent or smell. And that word scent or smell means discernment. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon Jesus, and that Spirit will make him of quick scent. He'll be able to discern. He'll be able to smell. He'll be able to sense the will of God. Notice this. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Jesus had discernment. When it was time to choose the 12 apostles, Jesus didn't just grab them like that. He spent the night alone with God in prayer. He spent the night alone with His Father in prayer, and then He chose the apostles. Discernment. God wants us to have discernment. To help us in discernment, I'd like for us to look at 8 comparisons this morning in the leading of the Spirit of God and the leading of the devil. The difference between the Spirit of God and the devil. There are 8 of those that I have down here. Maybe you could come up with some more. But in these days that we live in, we need to have discernment. And I believe that one great way that we can learn to discern is to learn what God is like and how He leads. Because God does not lead the way that the devil does. In fact, the difference is about from here all the way over to there different. The way that God leads and the way that the devil leads are completely different from each other. We need to learn how God leads. And we need to learn to discern when God is not leading, but Satan is leading. Because Satan desires to guide us. Satan desires to direct our lives. And he does sometimes. We'd all have to admit it. We've fallen into his snares and his leadings too many times. Number 1, the Spirit of God reveals, the devil conceals. That's quite a difference, isn't it? The Spirit of God will reveal. The Spirit of God is a revealing spirit. He'll reveal, he'll open up your eyes, he'll help you to see. But Satan conceals. Turn to 2 Corinthians. And chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There we see both of them right there in those verses. We see the Spirit of God shining like a bright light in the heart of a lost person, showing them the grace of God. And then at the same time we see that the God of this world blinds the minds of those that believe not. So they can't see the revealing light of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God reveals. Satan conceals. The Spirit of God will reveal our needs. Satan will conceal our needs. The Spirit of God reveals the Word. Satan will conceal the Word and keep it blind and keep us blind from it. You know the old saying, said so many times, where you're blind, you can't see. Well, that's the work of the devil. Where we're blind, he wants to keep us blind. Where we're blind, we can't see, and he knows we can't see. But the Spirit of God reveals. Number two, the Spirit of God convicts, and the devil condemns. Now, I'm speaking to the children of God this morning. The Spirit of God will convict you, but the devil will condemn you. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, There is now therefore no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There's no more condemnation. If we walk after the Spirit and choose not to live after our flesh, there's no more condemnation. If condemnation comes upon us, we can be of a surety that it's not coming from God, but it's coming from the devil. Dealt with somebody just last Sunday evening. Loaded down with condemnation. Sincere Christian. Loved God. Wanted to do right. Wanted to do the will of God. Burdened because they weren't doing more. And just loaded down with condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation does not come from God unless you're a lost sinner or you're going your own evil way. Then you should feel condemned. But if your heart says amen to the will of God, and your heart says, I want to go the way that God wants me to go. If your heart is that kind of heart, should be no condemnation hanging heavy over your heart. God doesn't do that. He, the Spirit of the Lord, convicts, gently convicts by promptings in the heart. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't go that way. That's the wrong way to go. That was wrong. Don't go that way. That's not how the devil does it. The devil condemns. In Zechariah, I believe it's chapter 3, and we'll not turn there, but in Zechariah chapter 3, we see the high priest standing there. I believe it's a vision. You see the high priest standing there before God, and Satan is standing right next to him. And the high priest is covered with filthy garments, and I believe it's a picture of the way that Satan will load a sincere believer down with all kinds of guilt and condemnation and make him stand before God like he's ugly and he's filthy and he's dirty and he's no good and there's no hope for him. But right there in the middle of the vision, the angel of the Lord comes up there and takes the old garments off and puts a new robe on him. And I believe that's a picture of our robe of righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. I believe it's a picture of the way the Lord sees us if our heart is sincere before Him. He doesn't see us standing before Him loaded down and filthy and guilty and condemned unless we're lost, unless we're going our own willful way. The Spirit of God convicts. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, we read in the book of Revelation. He is the accuser of the brethren, accusing us before God and accusing us in our own hearts. Always accusing, always driving us. But there's no condemnation to them that believe, that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Number three, the Spirit of God comforts. The devil confuses. He that believeth on me shall not be confounded, the Scripture says. He that believeth on me shall not be confounded. The Spirit of God comforts, but the devil confuses. He works a work of confusion in the life of anybody who will let him. Confusion. Not know which way to go, which direction, which is up, which is down. What do? I give up. I can't take it any longer. But the Spirit of God will come alongside of a hurting saint and comfort them and encourage them. That's what the Spirit of God will do. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going away, and it needs be that I go away, otherwise I can't send the Comforter. But Jesus went away, and He sent a Comforter, one who can come alongside of us and comfort us in the faith. Quite a difference, isn't there, between comfort and confusion. Number four, the Spirit of God encourages and the devil discourages. The Spirit of God will encourage us. The devil will discourage us. That word paraclete, that means one who comes alongside. If you could just picture the Spirit of God as a comforter and an encourager who just comes alongside and walks with us and lives in us. But if you could just picture Him standing next to us so we can see what some of His work is. And He'll walk beside you through your day. He's an encourager. Isn't it a blessing to be a child of God? Isn't it great to be? You got a home in heaven. God's your Father. He loves you. Go this way. Go that way. Isn't it great? What a beautiful day we have. He's an encourager. He stands alongside of us. He goes with us and the words and the Spirit by which He works with us are encouraging words and uplifting words and He'll make everything beautiful and it'll be beautiful outside even when it's raining. He's always coming along with an encouraging word within our spirit. Encouraging us. Always encouraging us. But Satan is exactly the opposite. He discourages. He'll dump on you. He'll dump things on you. He'll give you discouraging words. He'll tell you Satan is the author of negativism, if you can use that term. He'll just dump everything negative there. Boy, it's a terrible day, isn't it? It's raining outside. Once the rain goes away and the sun's shining, then it's too hot. And once the sun is the sun tips down there to where it's a cooler time, then it's too cold. And oh, he's just always coming in there. This is wrong, and this is wrong. I don't like this, and I don't like that. He is a discourager. You're not doing very well. You think you love God. Look at the way you live. Oh, He'll just come in there with all those things and discourage our hearts. But God is an encourager. He comes alongside and just keeps on going. You know, we can learn a lot how to treat each other through this, can't we? We can learn a whole lot how to treat each other through these very characteristics. We can learn that. Number five. The Spirit of God leads by gentle promptings. And Satan drives us with fear and demands. The Spirit of God will lead us by gentle promptings. Satan drives us with fear. And He demands you do it now. If you don't do it now, God's not going to be pleased with you. That is not God. That is not God. That's Satan. He drives us with fear and with demands. You'll do this, you'll do it this long, or you won't have the blessing. That's not God. That's not God. Satan will drive us. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If we're being driven by fear, it's not of God. If we're being driven by the fear that God won't bless us anymore, if we don't do this or that, that's not of God. Unless we're being rebellious. Satan. He drives us with fear, but the Spirit of God will lead us by gentle promptings. You know that still, small voice? You know that sweet sound within your spirit? You see, God doesn't sometime drive you and then another time gently woo you. God doesn't do that. God's Spirit prompts us, gentle promptings. Go this way. Go that way. God will do that. And God will lead us in very definite and specific ways. God will do that.
But it's by gentle promptings, not by driving. Not by driving demands. You better witness to one soul every day or you won't get the blessing. That's not the way God leads. God may do this. You know, wouldn't it be a blessing if you just make it your goal to witness to one person every day? That's the way the Lord would do it. Gentle promptings. Go this way. Why don't you tell that person about the Lord? Why don't you get up and pray tonight? Why don't you just get up and pray a little while? Gentle promptings. This way, that way. Go here. But the devil, he drives. The devil is a driving spirit to push you to do something that you're not supposed to do. And the reason why he does it is because he's trying to get you, he's trying to trick you into doing something that's not right for you to do. And he comes in the disguise of God. And of course, we don't want to disobey God. Every one of us in this room, we don't want to disobey God. So he comes in there and he drives that thing. Do it. Do it now. No questions asked. Do it right now. And sometimes on simple things, we need to do what God is telling us right now. Talk to that person. But then again, we have the Word of God there. Be witnesses everywhere unto me. Open your mouth and tell that person about Jesus. Go alongside that person over there and see if you can pray for them. Gentle promptings by God. Number 6. The Spirit of God wrought brokenness and humility within our heart. And the devil wrought pride and independence. Brokenness and humility. When we have a sweet time alone with God, it wroughts humility. It wroughts brokenness in our heart. It doesn't wrought pride. It doesn't fill our heart up with pride when we're alone with the God of heaven. It breaks us. It wroughts a brokenness within our heart, a humility within our spirit. But the devil wroughts pride. Number 7. The Spirit of God goes by the Word of God, but the devil will distort the Word. Genesis chapter 3. God's Spirit and God's Word are inseparable. They are one in the same. God's Spirit will never tell you to do what God's Word would tell you not to do. Amen. You can mark that one down. I don't care how spiritual you are. God's Spirit will never lead you to do something that this book would tell you not to do. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. God's Spirit and God's Word are one. They're inseparable. They're the same thing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life, Jesus said. You cannot separate what the Spirit of God says and what the Word of God says. Now granted, God will lead us. You can't find out in the Word of God whether you're supposed to witness to that grocery store clerk when you're there today or tomorrow. You can't find that out. There's nothing in the Bible that'll say that. That's the Spirit of God. But there are so many things in these days that we live in that people are doing and claiming that God told them to do it. God told me to take my covering off. God told me. I know it was God. He told me to take my covering off. Show me that in the Bible. God's Spirit will never tell you to take your covering off, sisters. You don't need it anymore. Do you believe that? God's Spirit will never tell you to take that covering off and not wear it anymore. It's in the book! And you cannot separate the two. Do you believe that? I believe that. We need to have discernment. in this matter of God leading us and make sure that some other spirit is not leading us. The Spirit of God will go by the Word of God, but the devil will distort the Word. Look, he's not going to trick us. He's not going to just throw the thing out. He knows he can't come to you and say, the Word of God doesn't mean anything. He can't do that. He knows that. So he distorts the Word, just like he did in the garden. Yea, hath God said? Do you really think that's what God meant? Do you really think that's as important? Someone told me the other day of a Mennonite church out in Kansas where they have a woman pastor there. I mean, she gets up and preaches and everything. Imagine that. Gets up there behind the pulpit and preaches. And one brother was questioning him out some. It's a Mennonite church. Question now, doesn't that bother your heart? Doesn't your conscience say something about that? Oh, the man said, hey, ever since we put a woman up there, we've had no more trouble with our youth. She has real good sermons. Everybody just loves her. Yeah, well, that's real good. I mean, what does that have to do with the Word of God? Nothing. God's Spirit did not tell that church to put a woman as a pastor because the Bible doesn't say it. Do you see what I mean by discernment? That's discernment. And that is wrong because God doesn't say it. I don't care how many blessings they claim to have. It doesn't matter to me one bit. They can give me 10 of them and it doesn't matter to me. God's Spirit will not tell you to put a woman in the pulpit because the Bible says so. Do we believe that God and His Word are inseparable? We better, because they are inseparable. And last of all, the Spirit of God brings freedom or the power to do God's will. And the devil only brings bondage. He only brings bondage. But God's Spirit brings power. If God tells you to do something and it is in this book, He'll always give you the power to do it. The freedom or the liberty to obey what God is saying will be there. It'll always be there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That is the power to do what God says. That's what liberty means. God's Spirit always brings the power to obey. Whenever God tells us to do something, His power is always there to fulfill what He is telling us to do. But when Satan comes to make us do something, it always brings bondage, fruitlessness in our lives. Back to the questions at the beginning. Does God want us to move with Him without any question? The answer is no. No. Should we never ask why? It's all right to ask why. If our heart says amen to God's will and we want to do God's will, it's all right to say, God, help me to understand this. I'm not sure of Your leading. Help me to understand, and God will make it clear. Is it all right to question God? Yes. Is God pleased with our questions or does He put up with them? The answer is, He's pleased with them. He's pleased with them. If we, through a heart that wants to discern, stop short and question something, a prompting in our heart. God is not grieved. God's Spirit doesn't back away from us when we question like that. No way! That is a lie. That is a false teaching. God's Spirit is not going to run away from you if you question what God tells you to do. He will not run away. He'll just make it clear. You say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the way. Walk ye in it. We have a false concept that says that if God says do something and we question whether we do or not, it'll grieve the Spirit of God and He'll run away. That doesn't work like that. The Spirit of God is not grieved for a question. He's grieved for sin. There's a big difference between those two. But Satan, who comes as an angel of light and teaches us that we must do it right now without any question, will lead us astray by promptings, by leadings. Is God pleased with our questions or does He just put up with them? He's pleased with them. He smiles upon it. Whether it be individually or corporately here, He's pleased if we step back and say, is this the right thing to do? God, is this the right thing to do? We're going to fast and pray over this. God, is this the right thing to do? God's not sitting in heaven saying, oh, I just wish they'd do what I say. No. God is looking and saying, amen. There's a discerning people. They want to go the right way. They won't be led the wrong way. I can trust them. That's what God is thinking. Is it right to view the leading of God with a discerning, questioning heart? And the answer is yes. Not because of God's integrity, but because there is a devil who is leading and deceiving people in these last days, and therefore, yes, it's right to question the leading with a discerning heart because we want to go the right way. It's right to question. Discernment. To question or not to question, the answer is we had better question in these last days. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Father and our God, Lord, we just tremble before You this morning as we look back over our lives and we see the many mistakes we made because we didn't question, because we didn't have discernment. Oh, Father God, our heart today does not say that You have no integrity and You're not the God of gods and You're not the Lord of lords and the God above all gods. Lord, we are not questioning all that today, O Lord. We acknowledge You to be the God of heaven, the only God. But, oh, Father, our hearts desire to go the right way. Our hearts desire, Lord, to be a people of discernment. Oh, God, I just pray, Lord, make us of quick scent like Jesus. Make us of quick scent, dear Lord, that we might discern Your will in these days that we live in. And, Father, I realize there's hundreds of applications here, Lord. I just commit this message into Your hands and I pray, Lord, You apply it to the different hearts that are in this room. Lord, and balance it. Lord, use the brethren to balance it. If I went too far on one side, we want to be balanced, Father, but we do want to go the right way. Lord, we confess that before You today. Our hearts desire to go the right way. Thank You for the message that came before. Thank You, Lord, that You stripped back some more of the devil's hiding places this morning. God, we just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.